Well, we are privileged tonight to have Brother Braxton Yansom ready to present his field and preach a message from God's Word. If you've been around here for a while, you know Braxton and Brianna. Brianna and her family started attending our church during her college years while she was a college student at Heartland Baptist Bible College. Her parents, John and Christy, and several of her other relatives attend church here as well. And God has had his hand on Brianna for a long time. And she graduated from college and attended church here for a little while. We didn't know quite what God was going to do with her life. And she decided to take a teaching job in Papua New Guinea. And she went there to teach boys and girls. And while she was there, the Lord used her in ministry and she met Braxton. And they fell in love and they were married. And they came back here as he was looking for work. And it was during our mission conference, as God was speaking, that Brother Braxton surrendered to God's call upon his life to take the gospel back to Papua New Guinea. And so that's what they're going to do. They have begun their deputation. They are sent out of his home church in Papua New Guinea, which is really an exciting thing. He was telling me before the service that the host pastor and missionary there has been there 20 years and that they are the first missionary couple sent out of that church, and it represents an answer to 20 years worth of prayer. So really a wonderful thing. And we're so excited for the investment that we've been able to have in their family and for the ways that they have served the Lord here. They've just been a blessing. They really have been. And I want you to pray for them as they start deputation. They've already presented at some other churches. They'll be doing a lot more of that in the next few months. So I thought it was good if he made his presentation to us. And Brother Braxton Yansom is going to come with his presentation and a message from God's Word.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. And I wanted to begin by thanking Pastor Gillett for giving me this opportunity to share the ministry that the Lord has placed in my heart and my heart of my family for the country of Papua New Guinea. Now, I grew up in the jungle of Papua New Guinea in a small village called Kotidanga. That is where a missionary Matt Allen first came and started the work of God there. And under his preaching, I heard the gospel and trusted Christ as my personal savior. After high school, I didn't have a chance to go to university, but God opened a door for me to do my Bible school, where I sat under the teaching of veteran missionary John Allen, and that is where I met my wife, Brianna Taylor. Now she's Brianna Yansom, and she graduated from Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma and came to Papua New Guinea to help teach at South Pacific International Academy with missionary Matt and Becky Allen. And when I met her, God knit our hearts together, and the rest is history. And we have a son. His name is Konden. He's in a nursery right now. At the end of 2024, we moved to Texas, and our plan was for me to attend a flight school, as many of you know, and I want to be a missionary pilot. But as we pray, the Lord began to change our heart during the mission conference last year at Word Baptist Church in September. And God started to work in our heart. And He changes the direction, and He put the desire for us to start a camp ministry. And a ministry that will be partnered with the local churches, with one central purpose: to reach the young people of Papua New Guinea with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For 4 years, my wife and I, we've been working with the young people, and we worked with young people closely, and we see their struggles, and we see the things that they have in their life, and many dropped out of school because they cannot afford fees. Either graduates from university but cannot find employment. And if you follow the news in Papua New Guinea, you will see that much of the crimes, much of the addictions and the violence is not caused by all the people. It is caused by the young people, the young people in Papua New Guinea. But imagine what could happen if those same young people standing for Christ. Imagine those same young people we reach them with the gospel. Imagine them standing for Christ instead of falling into distractions. Imagine the impact on their families and their communities and their societies. Someone once said, give a young person a purpose in Christ, and they will shake a nation. And we believe that all with all our heart that young people can shake a nation because God is able and he has placed within them a unique combination of energy, influence, boldness, and spiritual potential. When that potential is surrendered to Christ, it becomes a force that no government, no culture, no tradition can stop it. In addition to the camp ministry, we also desire to plant a church. If Camp Land is located far from existing Bible preaching churches. Alongside this, we plan to engage in market preaching, public school evangelism, village mini camps, men's and ladies retreats, and conferences. Now, how can you pray for us? First of all, pray for us that the Lord will provide a, give us a right people, the right churches to partner with and fill up our calendar for next few years while we're here. Second, please pray for our trip as we travel through around the state. It's my first time. I've never traveled. We just made a trip up to Kentucky and we were still up there. We were still in Texas and I looked at my wife and I said, when are we going to leave Texas? We're still running in Texas yet. Yeah, I know, Texas is big. And third, we're praying for the Lord to provide a reliable minivan or large vehicle that has a low mileage. And so that is our prayer point. You can pray for us for that. Now, if your Bible, please turn your Bible with me to Romans. Romans. Tonight, we're going to be in two different chapters, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jewish first, and also to the Greek." Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 17. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's pray. Father, I come before you today, and I just want to thank you for all the goodness and all your faithfulness in our life. Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight, and I pray for our hearts to be worthy to receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I say a message, I wanted to begin tonight by telling you where God brought me from. And because my story is not just a story, it is a testimony of how gospel reached me and how gospel can reach anyone. Now, I did not grow up with the things we enjoy here in Texas or in the United States. No paved roads, no electricity, no grocery store. I grew up in the jungle of Papua New Guinea where we climb steep trails and walk 2 to 3 hours to find our own food. I cooked in a fire, ate meals on banana leaves instead of plates. I walked barefoot everywhere, on rocks, on mud, on grass, on hot ground. Our feet were tough like leather. I still remember the first time I saw missionary Matt Allen and his family. I didn't know what to think. I wonder, what are they doing here? Do white people even have white children? In my confusion, I even thought they might be relatives who have died and come back in another form. That is how lost I was. Lost in my culture and lost in my tradition and lost in my sin. I was told that white people were dangerous and their ways would destroy our traditions. And that was the mindset I carry as a boy. But one day, missionary Matt Allen and his family left their beloved home, Kentucky, crossed an ocean and brought the gospel right to my village. And I didn't go to church because I wanted Jesus. I went because two of my friends told me that there would be a cookies. And for an 8-year-old boy who never tasted cookie in his life, never heard of cookies in his life, that was good enough for me. They convinced me, so I went with them. I still remember the first cookie that Miss Becky Allen gave it to me. It was so soft, and it was so sweet. Something that I've never tasted in my life. That one bite opened a door I didn't even know it existed. And I kept going back, honestly, for the cookies. But in 2008, during a preacher's conference, God interrupted my plans. I sat in the front row thinking about cookies waiting for me after the service. But that day, a preacher opened Revelation 20, and he preached on the final judgment. Now, I didn't understand everything that he said, but I understood enough to know that I was not ready to meet God. When it's denied, the Holy Spirit targeted my heart. Church denied, the Holy Spirit targeted my heart. I was afraid of what my friends and my family and my tradition and my culture would think. And then the night on Friday came, the final service, the preacher spoke again on final judgment. And suddenly the truth hit me and all those years I've been coming for cookies and for toys, something that I can get out from white people. But if I died that night, no cookies could save me. My culture couldn't save me. My tradition couldn't save me. Only one person, and his name is Jesus. And when the invitation was given, I didn't care who was watching. I didn't even care about my culture or my tradition. I raised my hand because I knew I was a sinner who needed a Savior. And that night, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that is why Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and Romans chapter 10 verse 14 to 17 means so much to me, because the gospel reached a barefoot boy village and who came for cookies but found Christ. And tonight I wanted to show you from the scripture why gospel is the only hope for you, for your family in Texas, in United States, and all around the world. So the first point for tonight is, what is gospel? What is gospel? The gospel simply means the good news, the message that Jesus Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and grave, and eternal life is offered to anyone, not elected one, anyone who receives and trusts him as their personal Savior. If you go back to Genesis, God created everything perfect. The world was good. Humanity walked with God in clean, sinless relationship. But Adam and Eve chose to listen to Satan and disobey God's command. And that decision brought bad news into the world. Sin entered, and with sin came corruptions and shame and sickness and most of all, separation from God. And yet, God, who is full of mercy, amen to that, and love, and immediately reveal his plan to restore what was broken. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and his seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What the theologian call this particular text here is proto-evangelium, means the first gospel. And here in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, God declared the first gospel promise for us. It is God's message that the Savior would come, be born of a woman who would crush serpent's head, that Satan had defeated the scene and dead forever. Generation after generation, God repeated that promise. And the fullness of time, Jesus came and he fulfilled it. He brought the good news. The Bible says in John 3, verse 16, famous Bible verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus died on a cross for your sins and for my sin. He was buried and he was rose again on the third day so you and I could be saved. Paul explained it beautifully in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He said, "For he had made, God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him." In other words, God placed our unrighteousness as sin on Jesus, past, present, and future, on his perfect Son, Jesus, and he placed Jesus' righteousness, Christ's righteousness, on us. So when God looked at us, he doesn't look at our sins, but he looked at his own righteousness on us. He forgave us completely. He made us clean. He made us his children. What a God we serve. Oh, what a Savior we have. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. Is the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have never received it, don't wait. Amen. Don't wait for today. I'm just going to wait for just now and then go out. No, today is the day. Gospel. If gospel can turn Paul from a violent enemy of God into a bold preacher of the truth of the gospel, if gospel could rescue the dying thief on the cross and open a heaven for him, and if the gospel, same gospel that reached me, a jungle boy who grew up to a afraid of anything foreign, imagine what gospel can do to you today. What can you do? Believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Trust Jesus with your life. Surrender to him today. And I'm telling you, I am the living proof of that gospel. It changes my heart. It changes my direction. I'm so thankful for that. Without it, I would be lost and heading for hell. But Jesus found me. Yes, sir. Amen. And he can find you too. Yes, sir. Therefore, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? That leads to my second point. What must we do with the gospel? What must we do with the gospel? Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." We must not be ashamed of the gospel. Now, have you ever done something so embarrassing that your soul tries to pack its bag and leave your body? Like when a young man tries to talk to a girl and she walks right past him like he's a tree stump. Or when you text someone and they don't reply, and you suddenly start checking your phone like it's broken, but deep down, you know that it's you broken. One time I offered to buy my girlfriend, now my wife, her favorite fruit. And that time I didn't make a lot of money. And so I walked into the store confident, bold, full of faith, until I saw the price. Man, I almost fainted in the produce accent. I had to call her and say, "Brianna, listen, how about we try a different fruit? A fruit that's financially friendly." I brought home a fruit that she didn't even ask for. And after that, I went home to my room like, why did I ask it? Why? Why? Now she knows that I'm broke. And I'm broke. I felt ashamed. And here we see in this passage, Paul was never ashamed of the gospel. His message was the good news of Jesus Christ. In a Greek word is called epikoumoi. Describes someone being publicly embarrassed because they choose to identify with a person they trust in. And in Paul's world, people chase power, status, and wealth. And so the message about the crucified Jewish carpenter looked weak and foolish. But Paul boldly declared that the gospel will never humiliate or disappoint anyone who trusts in him. Many scholars explain that Paul used litos, a way of making a strong statement by denying the opposite. Instead of saying, I am proud of the gospel, he say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is actually saying, I glory in the gospel. I boast in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we must never be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I still remember when my village accused their missionary family, island family, of stealing a mermaid from the river. The whole village erupted in anger, and they dragged them to court, and they called them thieves. They shamed them publicly. But even in those moments, they stood firm. They still love the people of Khmer. They still love me. They still preach the gospel. They still stay faithful to their calling. Brothers and sisters, don't let fear of people's opinions silence your witness for the gospel. Don't let action of people shut your mouth. When your eye stays on God instead of your own weaknesses, shame disappears and boldness arrives. Look at Jesus. Think of what Jesus has surrendered for us. They striped his clothes. They whipped him 39 times with brutal flagrant bone and metal tearing into his flesh. They pressed crown of thorn into his head. They nailed him on the cross between two thieves, threatening the Son of God as worthless. And he took all the same so you could stand unshamed. Look at the believers who went before us. Men and women who followed Jesus stood boldly. They declared the gospel with courage. They walked in faith without fear. And brothers and sisters, don't be ashamed. Stand for Christ with confidence. Speak his name with courage. Live his gospel with boldness. Here's the question to challenge our heart. When the moment comes to stand for Christ, will you choose boldness or will you choose silence? Not only should we not be ashamed, but also we must declare its power. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, the gospel is the power. It's not a device, it's not philosophy, not a tradition, not my culture, not your culture. It's the power. And I'm standing here today as a living proof of that power. If transformed my life, the gospel reached me even when I was afraid of foreigners, the white people, or the culture taught me. The gospel broke through the generation of the spiritual darkness that was in my heart. The gospel convicted me during conferences in 2008. The gospel opened my heart when I realized cookies couldn't save me. Culture couldn't save me. The gospel didn't need electricity. It didn't need the pavement. It didn't need a modern building. It only needed to be preached. And because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel is the good news that Jesus came and he died on the cross for you and me 2,000 years ago. And if you believe in that gospel, Jesus, you will have eternal life today, regardless of whatever culture or whatever background you are. And the gospel has a saving power, and that includes your justification. God declaring you a righteous through your faith in Jesus. Your redemption because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Jesus' blood can free us from our bondage of sin. And your reconciliation be you and God. The gospel restore our broken relationship with God. Amen. That is why Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That leads to my third point. The gospel must be preached. The gospel must be preached. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 17. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then the faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Word Baptist Church, this world is full of people who are spiritual hungry, but do not know what they're hungry for. Some come for help, some come for friendship, some come for hope, some come because life has broken them. But behind every face is a soul crying out, is there a savior for someone like me? And God has chosen and met us here, a divine plan for us in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, hear that. Let's walk through here. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, 7, begins with a chain of questions. It says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Paul is showing us something that is simple, but it is serious. And if the message is not preached, the lost cannot believe. And people cannot believe unless they hear the gospel message from someone. Nobody wakes up in the morning and just figure out the gospel. The gospel is not discovered naturally. Nobody discovered the cross by accident. Nobody learns about the resurrection by looking at the mountains and the star. Yeah, creation can tell there's a God, but creation cannot tell who's the name of that God, Jesus. Paul's message here is clear. If you want Fort Worth, Texas, if you want United States, if you want all Papua New Guinea, if you want the whole world to hear the gospel, then someone must go, someone must speak, someone must preach so that they can believe. This world need to hear from you about the Savior who died for you and them. Paul writes in Romans chapter, Paul says in Romans chapter 10 verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul is quoting Isaiah 52 verse 7 here to show us the perspective of a messenger. In the ancient world, messenger ran across rock mountains to deliver an urgent message, a news. And their journey was painful, exhausting, and dangerous. But when they arrived, their feet were considered beautiful. Not because of the appearance, but because of the hope, peace, and liberation they carried. And here, Isaiah 52 verse 7, I'm going to read it to you. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish the salvation that unto Zion, thy God reign. Those messengers, they bring the good news of salvation. Paul uses this picture to teach us something more powerful. When someone carries the gospel, the message that brings the sinners from death to life, their feet becomes beautiful because they are walking in God's purpose. The path may be dirty, the difficult and costly, but the calling makes the feet glorious. And if the God calls the feet of the gospel bearers beautiful, what does he see when he looks at your steps today? And Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had not believed our report? Paul reaches back to Isaiah again to show us that Israel's rejection of God's truth is not a new problem. They heard the message, but many refused to believe it. The same thing happened today in our society, in our community, in our own family. But that doesn't stop us from giving the gospel. We should preach the gospel. We should share the gospel. We should sow the seed. Because people need to hear the gospel. The Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Here declares one of the greatest truths of Romans, the book of Romans. It says, so then faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come from feelings. Faith, feeling change. Emotional rise and fall. Dreams fade. Tradition shift. Faith comes from hearing the message of Christ, that Jesus died for sinners like you and me, and he was buried, but Jesus rose again, and he is coming again. Let me say it, he's coming again. And that is the message that creates faith. And this is the message that saves souls. This is the message that saves the world. And so the world must hear it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the gospel must be preached in Fort Worth, in Papua New Guinea, in all around the United States, in all around the world. Young people, if you are sitting here, hey, use your talent, use the strength that God has given you today, and go to the world and preach the gospel. Don't sit here only, but you need to get up and go, because the world needs someone, young people like you. I'm only 26, and how old are you? I'm going to use that ability that God has given me, because God gave that ability to me to preach the gospel. And I am going back to my home country. What about you? If the gospel is the only hope for the world, if it's truly the good news, if we must never be ashamed of it, if we must boldly declare its power, if we are commanded to preach it, then what should we do with the gospel? We must believe it. We must live it. We must share it. And we must send it. To every person who has not yet heard. I'm going to finish with some questions here. Am I personally living in a way that shows I believe the gospel is the only hope? Christian, this is for you. Am I ashamed of the gospel in any area of my life? Who I have shared the gospel with this week? Am I helping send the gospel to the places where Christ is unknown? Do I pray for the lost like I truly believe the gospel is the only hope? Am I serving in my church to help advance the gospel? Is there anything in my life that contradicts the gospel I claim to believe? Those of you who have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, where do I place my hope? When my life becomes painful or uncertainty. What do I do with my guilt and shame and sin? If the gospel is God's rescue plan, have I received it? What is stopping me from believing the gospel today? As the message comes to the close tonight, let me ask you all to stand. Let's evaluate our own heart. No one sees our heart, but God sees our heart. Your wife doesn't see your heart. Your husband doesn't see your heart. Your church family doesn't see your heart. No one knows what's going on at your home, but only God does. My prayer for you today is, if you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to do it today, not tomorrow. We don't know what's tomorrow going to bring to us. And Christians, what are we doing with the gospel? the gospel has changed your life, what are you doing with it?